Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my best buds ever, Randy and Justin. How you doing, Justin?
I am fabulous, David. Thank you.
How are you doing, Randy?
I am lovely.
Learn my lesson. Call on you guys by name, so it wasn't one of the... We're fine.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. With it.
Oh, man, I always laugh at the Dick Tracy quotes.
I know my audience. You're an easy mark. I know how to get you.
Oh, shit. I love it. When do we eat?
Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off, Randy. I'm doing great and fantastic and amazing.
We always find a way to derail in the first 30 seconds, no matter what happens every fucking week. Derail.
That's why people come back.
Oh, we used to do Roger Rabbit quotes. Now it's Dick Tracy.
All right. I'll have to get on board with that.
Yeah. That's all people listen to. This in like the first like 2 minutes. They get their chuckles and they leave.
That's about all we're good for. 2 minutes in every aspect of the life, especially the bedroom.
Yeah. So like, it sounds like my birthday and anniversaries.
Well, you make that last.
Right.
They get all pissed. Like, is this almost done?
Nope.
My goodwill for your birthday has a finite number of minutes here.
Oh, man, it went from birthday to birthday week to birthday month. I celebrate it for 30 days. That's it. No joke there. I'm just saying.
That is the punchline. People. I was going to say, it's got to get pretty like chafed raw at that point, 30 days.
That's okay. I got a year to recover.
Like, my birthday may be the 30th, but, you know, it could be all month.
Exactly.
Well, I guess Dick Tracy jokes aside and, I guess, premature ejaculation aside, got some fun stuff happening this weekend. We got Infinity War coming out on Friday. I saw it last night and loved it. I'm sure next week will be chock full of all of the goodness of us just talking about it, but I just wanted to kind of throw it out there that you should definitely stay off social media. There are a lot of things to spoil, and there are a lot of great things in this movie, and Thanos is amazing.
Hey, as long as I get to see Hawkeye on screen, like, for at least 5 minutes, I'm going to consider this a win. Anything else? Horseshit.
Automatic F, right? Yep. He's been hiding on those posters. If he doesn't show up, you're just going to like walk out.
Give me my Hawkeye.
But yeah, I think most people's, anyone's concerns about, you know, the disposable villains of Marvel, do not have to worry about it in this film. Thanos is a fully fleshed out character, and I am happy because he's one of my favorite characters, and he kicks ass. And the movie is surprisingly funny. I know that's kind of the Marvel style to mix the real dire, serious situations with comedy. But there are some legitimately funny parts in this movie. And no surprise, a lot of it has to do with Thor, the new comic hero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I can't wait to talk all about it with you guys next week. I just wanted to give you my initial thoughts that, yay. So next week when you guys hate it, you guys can tell me, David, you fucking lied to me.
No.
I can't wait to take whatever adversarial stance I need to on this movie.
Your body is not ready for this movie.
You're probably right. I have no idea what to expect going into this. There's a kill list that I'm hoping happens. There's some blood that needs to be shed, and I wouldn't mind if certain bodies hit the floor. So,
man.
Yeah, there are some definite misdirects in the trailers as well. There are certain things in the trailer, like big marketing parts, that don't appear in the movie. Not like Rogue One style, to where like the scene doesn't exist, but that they have added or removed characters from at least one of the pivotal trailer scenes, and it's pretty cool. It's kind of fun.
to make it look like they're all there when in actuality said character did not survive to that point.
No, it's there's one character that's not there, and they CGI a different character in there in his spot.
Ooh,
it's
I'm intrigued.
It's pretty funny, yeah. So you'll it's not a huge spoiler, but you'll when you leave the movie, you'll probably be like, wait a minute, that's not right. You'll have to go to Comic-Con and talk to Marvel. Oh, wait. Marvel's not going to Comic-Con. Or at least the MCU. The MCU is going to skip out on Hall H this year. Kevin Feige said that they don't want to talk about or release any of their plans for future installments before Avengers 4. They want Avengers 4 to come out, and then they just want to just... Clearly, the landscape is going to change after Avengers 4. I don't think it's anyone's surprise to know that Infinity War is definitely a part one to something. It does. It's not like a Pirates of the Caribbean situation. It does have a satisfactory ending, but it definitely continues into a second movie. And so I think that is what will leave the Marvel Cinematic Universe irrevocably damaged. And so Marvel kind of ruled Hall H for a couple years. You know, they had that Saturday spot. And is their absence, Justin, something that excites you and that, you know, we always bitch that Marvel lets us know too much, too far ahead, and they don't let us get excited for the property? To where now it seems like they really have something special planned and they want to let it roll out naturally.
I can see that. The anticipation, though, is a pretty powerful thing. So sometimes I kind of like to know what's going on. But I'm weird.
No.
I mean, obviously, it makes sense. Comic-Con's in July. But I feel like everyone would have gotten their dose of Infinity War, so it's enough time would have passed to where everybody that wanted to see it will have. But what do I know? Feige obviously knows what he's doing, so... I don't know who I am to say otherwise, but I kind of like...
Justin Cavender.
That's true. I honestly like knowing what to expect. I like seeing the pieces of the puzzle fall into place. This has obviously been 10 years in the making, and each one has been exciting. There were a couple ones that I didn't really enjoy, but I was still excited when they announced that there was being a movie being made. Like, I could give a fuck about Doctor Strange, but when they said that they were making a movie, I was like, oh, all right, That's kind of cool, I guess. So
it's fucking interesting, man.
Yeah, I like the idea of knowing that they have a plan in place and they're not just making the shit up as they go.
Do you think that maybe their plan involves some Fox properties and they need to get some ink dried before they can make any concrete plans? You know, Phase 4 would be great to see the Phase 4 logo with Johnny Storm making the Fire 4.
Yeah, absolutely. They honestly, just due to legal reasons, I don't think they could even talk about some of that stuff. So that makes perfect sense. I totally forgot about that, to be honest with you.
That's why I make the big bucks.
Yeah, that's true. You're smart man.
I'm about to lose weight.
But it could also be that they just want to say, fuck it. They could save a lot of money by not going. Especially since it's after their big flagship has already launched, so I mean, who really cares?
Yeah, leave them wanting more.
Yeah, I mean, they have nothing. They have nothing to bring to the table, except
Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out like the week after Comic-Con, Justin.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
And it seems like a very small movie after Infinity War.
It does. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, it is Ant-Man and the Wasp. They are very small.
Does it take place after the movie?
Having seen Infinity War, I have to imagine it takes place before.
Okay.
Oh, Ant-Man dies. Yep. Ant-Man dies.
No, not that. It would not. Obviously, Ant-Man is wonderful because it's like the small scale type thing, no pun intended. But I don't think it fits in a post Infinity War world.
Gotcha.
So, what do you think about it, Randy? I mean, do you think this opens up a space for, you know, its competitor DC to maybe make a showing? But I guess DC has really always had great Comic-Con showings, it's just the products ended up sucking.
Yeah, they've always had, the booths always flocked a lot of traffic over there because they have, like, the costumes on display, and that was where we got to see, like, the big old Batman suit of armor from BVS and all that kind of stuff. They usually have pretty good displays, and I think every once in a while they even, like, will trot out some of the stars over there for... for stuff, because every that booth is just like a nightmare to try to walk past on certain occasions. So I have no doubt that they will make some sort of splash over at Comic-Con, but I mean, the big failing comes on just the tenets of the DCFU in general. And unless they have something really exciting to bring to the table, I don't think whatever they do is even going to wow anybody anymore, just because of the fact that we're all desensitized to it. Because every time we let ourselves get excited, we seem to end up being let down. Now, going back to Marvel and their whole not going to Comic-Con, at first when I heard that news and I just kind of basically read it as a headline, I'm like, oh, that makes sense, because they're just going to do it at D23. That's what Disney does. They pull out of Comic-Con, they put all their exclusive cool stuff at D23. But when I really think about it, it makes sense, because, and now I don't know anything about Infinity War because I haven't seen it like you have, David, but I do know that it's going to change the Marvel landscape in a big, big way. And imagine one of those big, like, 5-year timelines that they're fond of putting up on screens at events like D23 or Comic-Con. Imagine all those empty spots where they're not going to be able to tell you the name of the movie or even who's in it, because it could be a potential spoiler for what's going to happen in Avengers 4. So it kind of makes sense from that point of view that they couldn't even try to tell us what the future plans are if they wanted to, because it might spoil something that we're still a year out from learning, you know? So so that, you know, it does make a lot of sense just from a spoiler standpoint. So I get that. Exactly. It's like a goddamn UFO file or something like that. Project Blue Book. Anyway, that's my thinking on it. So I think what they're doing absolutely makes sense, and I respect them for it, rather than just teasing us with a big bunch of big gaping holes saying, ha ha, sorry, we can't talk about this. Just out of sight, out of mind, I don't want to know until you can tell me something, you know? I don't want to sit there and just speculate wildly about it.
Yeah, and you brought up D23. D23 is kind of going like the Star Wars Celebration route, to where they do like every other year in the States and every other year like foreign. So they had one in China this year, and it won't be till 2019 it comes back to Anaheim. So, you know, well, change by then, I guess.
Rumor has it Celebration is coming back to Anaheim 2019 as well.
That's the rumor, because it was... Yeah, because last time it was in Orlando.
Yes. So, and the time before that, it was in Britain, I believe.
Yeah, UK. London.
Yeah.
And before that was in Anaheim, and we were all there.
Mm-hmm.
And it permanently marked my body.
Oh, yeah. Randy didn't do it. He doesn't have a tattoo.
Not yet.
Yeah.
It's all talk.
Well, we'll have to do something about that.
All right. Say when and where.
We'll draw it for you.
Yeah, oh no, I'll bet you will. It's like, I'm going to lay out your dick, do a trace outline around it, and get that tattooed on my face when I pass out.
We'll draw it on you in marker, and then the tattoo artist can just trace it.
Yeah. There you go.
Now we're talking.
That way you don't have to whip it out in the busy convention floor. I mean, it's the respectable thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, it seems the whole world is super excited about Avengers, except for one person, and...
Thanos?
Thanos is definitely excited about the Avengers initiative. James Cameron, who came under fire not too long ago for making ridiculous comments about Wonder Woman and how she's not as strong a woman as Sarah Connor and the women he portrayed, is doing the press tour for... I forget what, it's something stupid. Some documentary or something. And... The guy who has created and tried to reboot and redo Terminator like 1,000 times, and who's working on his like 14 Avatar sequels, is complaining about Avengers and how he can't wait for people to get sick of it like he is, and that it's just the same thing over and over and over again, which is kind of what he's kind of building his career on right now. So Justin, we all love James Cameron's movies. He has made some amazing films. He's got the two highest grossing films of all time.
Is he the guy that makes those Christian Christmas movies?
Yes. Deck the Halls, and you know, the one with Kurt Cameron.
Yeah, there you go. That's his brother.
Yeah, they're brothers. Is he? This just the look at me? Look at people aren't paying attention to me anymore. Like, I mean, he has nothing to prove. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, what's his deal?
I don't know, man.
Ego?
He's just probably. I think ego is a good word. He's a little crazy town banana pants, man. And a grave robber.
Yeah. He has been a little bit out of the public eye, doing his documentary projects, smaller projects. And, of course, he's kind of been involved in, like, an executive producer role on some of the more recent Terminator stuff. But he hasn't really seemed to be as in it as thick as he was before. Maybe he's just kind of trying to make sure, hey, everybody remember me before his Avatar films come back out again, just to kind of make himself relevant again in some sort of way. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I like how he prefaces it with like, I mean, I'm a fan of these movies, but it's good, you know, that's like saying, I don't want to sound racist, but...
Oh, man.
So, yeah, right, I mean, why... I just don't get his comments. Like, why is he? Is it just James Cameron's a dick? Is he just a dick, and we've just glossed over it because we're like, oh, he made True Lies.
Yeah, maybe he's just gone full blown. Maybe he's just gone full blown like old master Jedi Luke, and just like, get off my lawn. Maybe that's just where he is in this stage of his life.
Get off.
I mean,
my
who
plane.
Can blame the guy? He's done a lot of good stuff. He's covered a lot of mileage. Maybe it's just time to just let go and embrace that sweet sleep.
Would you say let the past die?
Kill it if you have to.
Oh. Yeah, 'cause he also had shit to say about Star Wars too. He's pissing and moaning about that too.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, but he made. I was gonna say, I almost said he made Twister. I'm like, he didn't make Twister. Still a good movie, but
it's too extreme for him.
Like Harold and Kumar extreme.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect the shit out of him for all the quality entertainment he has given us over his long and fruitful career. And and believe it or not, there's even a small part of me that's kind of looking forward to seeing what he's going to do with this Avatar world that he's building. And maybe it's just the part of me that just wants to see it crash and burn after part two, only to have him realize that all that money he's dumping into the other movies is completely wasted. But that's just the part of me that wants to see the world burn. But I don't know. I'll still sit here and respect him for the good he has done.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Avatar sequels. I like the first Avatar. I know it's Dances with Wolves, Pocahontas, Fern Gully, whatever, but I mean, the visuals and like the world building, with the exception of naming the unobtainable material unobtainium, aside from that, I mean, it's a pretty cool movie, and it's from a technical side, it's awesome, and it was innovative. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with his probably 19 sequels, but Justin, he's the one who can't wait. He's just all over these Avatar sequels, right, Justin?
Oh, yeah, can't wait. Stand in line right now.
You're in line at your multiplex.
Pre-order tickets. Oh,
so they were supposed to come out in 2014?
Oh, yeah. When was Avatar 2009?
2009, yeah. December 2009.
Wow.
Which, that's quite a bit of time. But, you know, I can't say shit because I'm also sitting over here going, well, shit. Tron Legacy was December of 2010, and I'm sitting here going, give me goddamn sequels. I want all the movies. And it's almost as old as Avatar is, and it's pretty much almost as out of people's consciousness as Avatar is. So I really don't have a leg to stand on that argument.
Well, I remember when Avatar came out, it only made $75 million its first weekend. I remember people were like, oh, James Cameron, he's done for. This movie won't make any money. And then the next week, it made $73 million, and they're like, oh. Guess this movie will have some legs.
Yeah, and then everyone's like, no, you gotta go see it in 3D. Oh, you gotta go see it in IMAX. And people saw it multiple times.
Yeah, and that upcharge. I remember paying $16 to see that in IMAX 3D.
Oh, man. You know what the first movie was that I saw in IMAX 3D?
Poseidon Adventure.
Monsters vs. Aliens.
Oh.
I know, of all things, right?
Mine was the Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, yeah? That's a good one. Kurt Russell's in that movie.
Kurt Russell is in. He plays the Gene Hackman character.
And so is Fergie. Licious.
Fergie is, in fact, in this movie. In that movie.
Yeah. And so is the nice girl from Shameless. Oh, what's her name? Rossum? Yeah.
She likes to get naked.
I'll take it.
Hmm. Bet you will.
And that other guy's in it that's not Matthew McConaughey. He's somebody else. Yeah. Lucas?
Like Matt Lucas?
Yeah.
Matt Lucas? Josh Lucas.
Josh Lucas. There you go.
Yeah.
I like that guy. He's got a nice way of speaking.
Yeah, I tried to make him a thing for a couple of years, and I guess they gave up. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, James Cameron, because I know you listen, chill out. Be cool. Enjoy movies. Everyone else in Hollywood hates the Avengers movies because they take all their money, but at least they pretend to like them. Just play the game. Even P. Diddy wears a suit when he goes to court.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe he's just a fucking asshole. I'm sure he's an asshole, dude.
All evidence points to asshole.
Right?
Don't meet your heroes, kids, I guess.
I know, right? By the way, while we're still recording this, tomorrow, 4/26, that is Alien Day. As in LV 4/26. Just want to throw that out there, since we're talking about James Cameron and how he had to spruce the goose that is Aliens. It's good shit.
Too bad he didn't come back for Prometheus.
Oh, yeah.
But he would have made something bitchin'.
Yeah, that movie was terrible, by the way.
Covenant or Prometheus?
Whatever, pick one. Is that what the newest one was called? Alien Covenant? I already forgot. I fell asleep.
I have my screener still shrunk wrap in a drawer somewhere.
God, it's a terrible movie.
Yeah, I agree. But what's not going to be a terrible movie is Solo. I promised you we wouldn't talk about Solo today. Fucking liar. We're talking about this fucking movie every week. Even after that, we're going to talk about this fucking movie. I love Star Wars. We all love Star Wars.
You're signing it. We're all signing it.
Some guy in band.
Nice camper.
Alden Ehrenreich, you know, the young lad who is going to play Han Solo, you know, the one who looks ridiculous on all the posters because he doesn't have a gun, but he's looking down the sights of a gun that's not there. He recently has been talking about the split that happened when Christopher Lord and Phil Miller, switch that, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller left the production. They were fired and replaced by Ron Howard. We got a lot of stories that came out of it about how, you know, everyone kind of hated Lord and Miller and how they gave Ron Howard a standing ovation when he came on set. And he kind of came and debunked all those and said that it wasn't that there were bad working environment. It was more just, you know, kind of what we heard, you know, that the studio just wasn't gelling on their vision and stuff like that. And so I don't know if this is just him playing nice or if this is, you know, him just kind of like standing up for Lord and Miller because they are the ones who cast him in this role and gave him basically the big break of his career. But he also let know that he signed on for 3 movies. And that could be cool.
Wait, 3 Star Wars movies?
Yeah, he signed on to play Han Solo 3 times.
Oh my god.
But
it's
important to know that Felicia Jones, who played Jyn Erso in Rogue One, who is very, very dead, also signed on for 3 movies. So
I heard hers was just 2 movies.
Not to
contradict you, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, maybe it was 2 more movies. Or
wow,
it
could be okay.
She was definitely signed on for more than 1 movie. And as we all know, it doesn't end well for her in Rogue One. she's not coming back for the sequel, A New Hope, that this upstart George Lucas is going to be directing. So Randy, I know you love Solo as much as everybody. What sticks out from all these things that Ehrenreich's been saying?
I don't know. I'm just hoping this all isn't just Mr. X, just to kind of... I don't know. I don't know what to think. I am speechless. I was not prepared to talk about this movie this week. I was promised we were not going to talk about this movie this week, and here we are talking about this movie this week. But you know what? We're only a couple of weeks away from the Cannes screening, and once it's playing over at the festival over there, people are going to start yapping about it, and we'll know a little bit more. And I'm still going to carry on to that cautiously optimistic feeling that I've had for the last couple months with all this wonderful material they've been releasing on TV and all the little the trailers that they've been putting out, the TV spots. I'm loving all of it. I want to love this movie. God damn it. Please let me love this movie. And I don't want to hear any more about it.
We're going to love it, Randy. It's going to be so... It's Kasdan. He's bringing back the old trilogy feel. He's going to give some love for the EU. I bet this movie is amazing, but I'm trying not to Last Jedi this, and so I'm trying to temper my expectations.
Yeah.
But I think that we're all going to love it, and it's going to be a Rogue One situation where we're like, holy shit, I really like that movie.
Yeah.
What say you, Jess? Any of this interest you, or is this just more noise in the endless marketing campaign that is Star Wars?
Oh, the noise. Yeah, I'm over it, man. I wanted to like it, but now I'm over it. You killed it for me, Dave.
Fuck. I do that.
It's ruined.
I ruined guilds in World of Warcraft, and I ruined Solo for you.
Oh, yeah. What guild did you ruin?
I don't know. You kept blaming me for ruining all these guilds.
Stealer of best friend.
I'm like, it wasn't me, I swear. It was the other dude. But if, you know, small chance, you know, Solo doesn't do well, at least we got Venom, right? We got a trailer that I'm sure everyone loved, right? You guys both saw it, right?
I did.
We got to see the symbiote in action.
Yeah,
what more can you ask for?
Well, we could ask her, you know, a movie that doesn't look terrible. But, okay, Randy, you piped up first. What were your thoughts of the trailer?
I thought it looked kind of cool. I was digging the voice. Overall, it's got kind of a neat feel to it. I have very low expectations for this movie to begin with, so I'll put that out there that it's not going to take much to impress me, I think. But, the CG didn't look quite finished on the one shot of Venom that you do get to see at the end of the movie. It looked a little shiny, a little bit like too CG, I guess, for the lack of a better way to describe it. But overall, I thought it was kind of cool.
Elizabeth Banks has like the best reaction on Twitter, where she like screen grabbed Venom with his tongue sticking out, and she's like, "It looks like he's sucking a dick."
Oh man!
Oh my god!
Oh, Elizabeth Banks, you're my hero.
I think I'm going to have to look at that now.
Yeah, I'll look for what you guys are talking. So what did you think, Justin? Would this trailer do it for you?
No, not really. I'm not really a fan of the character all that much. That's one of those less is more types of fellas. And he's always sort of had like that crazy mouth and face, so it's kind of hard to make that look cool in a live-action sense. I feel like it's just one of those things where you can get away with it in an animated version or in a comic book, but it loses something when you see it in live-action form. Sort of like with G.I. Joe, all the characters would look ridiculous if they wore the outfits that they did in the cartoon in a live-action version. It just doesn't work. Some stuff is just better left untouched.
I agree. I too. Howard Johnson is right.
Right? I don't know. I mean, just Venom's got a big head, a big old tongue, all 10,000 teeth. I don't know. It just doesn't. It's hard to look cool in live action.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know why I'm just not excited about it. I don't know if I'm just over anti-hero and stuff like that, or if I'm over Tom Hardy, or. I think it's cool that he's like kind of the schizophrenia of it all, where he's kind of talking to himself and he's hearing the voice. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. People have pointed out there's like this that there's like a flash of like a red symbiote, so that Carnage will probably be in this movie, to where maybe Carnage will end up being the main villain.
I hope not.
Yeah, so I'm just not terribly excited for it. I'm just kind of meh. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll have another trailer and it'll blow me out of the water. It'll come out and people will be like, this is so great. I just don't like Venom without Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
With me?
I do. I know it's rare, but it does happen from time to time.
From time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we blew through all those topics pretty quick. We went fast style. You guys got anything you want to chat about? Randy, you got something in the mail, right?
I did get something in the mail today, because I can't go a week without talking about my giant $500 toy purchase.
That's your Solo.
It is.
Did you only buy one or two?
I only got the one.
Oh, what about when it's raining and you got all that water flowing in your backyard? Don't you want to just take it for a spin?
Open one up so I can see if it floats. as tempting as that may have been, and had it come down to the wire where there weren't enough people supporting it, I may have actually sprung for a second one, but luckily I didn't have to do that. The very first phase of the things that they're mailing out to all the people that bought it is this cool little like behind-the-scenes book. It's called Behind the Bench, and it has a lot of photographs of like the prototype of it and how they came to create it and all the detail that's going into it. And it's made to look like an old-school 1980s, 70s-style instruction sheet that would come with a toy of that era. So it's kind of got that cool black and white feel to it. It's got the vintage looking logo, and even on the back it has that with all the Kenner toys that came out in the 70s and 80s, it had this little card that came with it. It says, "We really do care." And it's basically saying, hey, if any of your shit is broken or missing pieces, write us, let us know, we'll send you replacements. And they actually did it back in those days. Nowadays they'd say, go fuck yourself, take it back to the store and hope they have another one, you stupid prick. That's pretty much what corporate people, what they will tell the average customer these days. However, back in the day, they actually did care, and it was really cool to see that they recreated that little "we really do care" thing on the back of the instruction manual. And I don't know, it just kind of it ignited that little warm, fuzzy, happy "I love vintage Star Wars toys" feeling within me, and that was awaiting me in my mailbox today, and I couldn't be happier.
Cool. Would you say that it tickled you pink?
It tickled my pink and my red rocket and my lipstick and whatever other animalistic references you want to make in reference to my penis.
Wow.
When you get the real deal, are you going to open it up and put it all together and stuff?
I don't know the answer to that yet. I do have room for a fully assembled version of it up on top of this display shelf that I have. It would take up pretty much the entire top of it, and I'm okay with that. But the box would also fit there, and the box would look really nice. So I haven't decided whether or not I want to open it up, because if I open it up, it's just going to collect dust. I'm not really going to do anything with it. It's just going to sit there getting dusty. The box will get dusty, but it's way easier to clean, and I'll still get to look up and see a 4-foot representation of a sail barge right next to me, you know, as I sit here podcasting with you guys. So I haven't really decided. If there's some little part of me that really, the moment I get it, you know, all of a sudden I'm transported to Christmas morning 1983 and I want to sit there, open it up and fill it up with all my Jabba Goon action figures, then I might just kind of slink back into those base instincts and pop her open. Because I definitely didn't buy it as a investment of any kind. I got it because it's fucking cool and I've wanted one my entire life. So, you know, not necessarily the adult part of your brain you generally make large purchases with, but I'm a man-child, so what are you going to do?
You're going to fucking open this thing and then buy a second one.
Well, if I buy a second one, I'm going to have to pay through the nose for it because it's going to be on the secondary market.
Mm. Gotta want it.
There was this time where you took me to a crazy back alley Star Wars collector trade show that was off the books,
and are you referring to the room sales?
it was very weird to be there.
So we may have talked about this at one point on the podcast, but if not, I'll give you guys a secret little insight into the dark underbelly of vintage Star Wars collecting. So every year at Celebration, and sometimes they do it at other conventions as well or toy shows, they'll organize something similar to this, but it's really prevalent at Celebration. So back in 2015, Celebration Anaheim, at the hotel right next to the convention center, we knew there was going to be an event that happened at a certain night at a certain time, and you had to be at the right place to find it, and it's like a little underground sales environment, and it was supposed to be basically just kind of a small room of people bring in their wares. They're not setting up like full-on vendor tables like you would see on the exhibition floor at the convention. These are like people like operating out of suitcases and little folding tables, or just setting their shit down on the floor on a blanket like a picnic style, right? But some people went full-on batshit crazy, went into this this room that they had done up for something that was going on at the convention center the next day. They were taking out tables and chairs and setting up a whole goddamn freaking Turkish bazaar over there, filled with action figures and proof cards and prototypes and like really obscenely high dollar amount items, like incredibly rare, some maybe even one of a kind of items, like shit you never see on the regular sales floor because it is so rare or expensive or just highly sought after that it only comes out at these special collector events. And you only go to them if you are somehow connected to the community enough to know when and where they happen. It's like Fight Club. And I was made aware of this event, and I took Justin with me just to kind of document the occasion with me and just kind of to act as my bodyguard, also to make sure that I didn't spend obscene amounts of money, which I was very tempted to.
It's easy to do, man.
But, I mean, the deals were flowing, the cash was flying, and I was more than a little aflutter with the lust of wanting to have all the cool shit that I saw. And I was, you know, a hair away from making a couple really bad financial decisions that night.
Didn't we show up in some documentary?
We did. We're in the background of some documentary, too, where somebody was documenting that, like, somebody was trying to track down this really rare Star Wars piece, and you see him walking around, and we were just kind of wandering around going, hey, there's a film crew. That's kind of fun. And then a month later, I go and I see myself in the background of this documentary, and I have this dumb look on my face.
I believe
it. Oh, look, a camera.
Candids are the worst. I hate them.
Yeah, I hate it, because everybody looks like fucking sloth. You know? From the Goonies.
Sorry you missed it, Dave. It was crazy.
I didn't know the password. I didn't know the Fidelio.
Yeah, Fidelio. And then it's accompanied by some really creepy piano music and dudes with really long dick nose masks just railing naked chicks wearing cloaks only.
Whoa. Yeah, the way you describe it, it's exactly like the auction in the movie Taken where they're selling people.
Yeah, right. Up next, we have this Australian Darth Vader.
But it sounds like one of these things. Oh, the Australian Darth Vader is something that I would consider parting with a part of my anatomy for. But anyway, you'd think that this would be like a small affair, like 100 people, but there were hundreds of people up at this thing. You know, for something that's not supposed to be very well known, the secret definitely got out. I mean, if regular schmoes like Justin and myself were allowed into this thing, clearly they'd let anybody in the door.
Well, we were wearing Star Wars shirts, so that helped. They knew we were part of the club.
True. And I did walk away with bags full and wallet empty. So I was at the right place at the right time, and I got almost everything I wanted that night. So I was pretty happy.
There you go.
They saw you coming.
Yeah. And then they saw me come.
Mm.
Gross.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway,
but that's a Taken situation, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I got kind of a fun Avengers list if you guys will indulge me for a couple minutes.
Yeah, oh, please do.
What do you got?
So, our good buddies over at Business Insider, because we're all businessmen over here in our suits and our little Taken auctions. This was written a week ago, and so it is their 9 characters who could die in Avengers Infinity War, ranked by how likely it is.
So this now, is not this a spoiler for what you saw last night.
There are no spoilers here. This is something that was written well before the embargo, well before the premiere. This is just their take on it, and I won't comment on if this person does die or does not die in the movie, but it could lead to some fun conversation of the 9 characters who could die in Avengers Infinity War, ranked by how likely it is. No spoilers. All right. Number 9, Tony Stark / Iron Man.
The greatest actor / model.
I'm surprised he's not higher on the list.
I was a little surprised, too. Number 8, Bruce Banner / the Hulk.
No.
Can't kill the Hulk yet. He hasn't even had his own proper standalone movie.
Yeah. Number 7, Wong from Doctor Strange.
Who? Oh, Wong, yeah. The guy that pees on the dude's carpet.
As far as I'm concerned, he's kind of like sidekick level.
Yeah.
So, expendable.
Yeah.
Sidekick.
Number 6, Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier. Captain America's longtime best friend, played by Sebastian Stan. He's already died once.
Yeah. Right.
Getting an old hand at it. This one surprised me that this is not lower on the list. Number five, Captain Rogers, Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Hmm.
Would have thought that I think everyone before, weeks ago had him as the number one. He can't make it out alive. Number four, James Rhodey / War Machine. I think that also falls into the sidekick category.
Yeah, but who's going to take over when Iron Man dies? We got to have War Machine.
Oh, shit. Randy wants them both dead. Randy's out of blood.
you sent us earlier this week, I'm going to preface this to everybody listening. David sent us this text message earlier in the week with an image of supposedly a leaked back cover from the Avengers Infinity War soundtrack. And he says, uh-oh, looks like there's spoilers in the track titles. Which is kind of harkening back to the days of 1999. All of us were sweet, young, innocent souls, not having seen or expected anything from The Phantom Menace. But when The Phantom Menace soundtrack came out like 2 weeks prior to the movie, it spoiled Qui-Gon's death. So ever since then, there's been this stigma about freaking soundtracks giving away plot points to the movie. So here we got this thing, and David said, uh-oh, there's spoilers. So of course, what am I going to do? I'm going to read it. And it's like track one, so-and-so dies. Track two, so-and-so dies. And it's like the entire fucking cast. Track seven, Hawkeye lives. Yeah. Like track 12, the DCFU dies. I'm like, well, we all knew that happened. But yeah, it was great. It was a total troll. But it was fantastic, and it put a smile on my face. So, yeah.
That's like 80% of my life goals is just to put a smile on your face, Randy.
And I appreciate that.
Kind of like the Joker in that regard, but in a not creepy, I'm going to cut your face way.
That's good.
Unless you're in that guy. Number three, Nebula. Remember, Thanos' daughter. Thanos is in this movie, so, death, right?
Sure.
Number two, Clint Barton Hawkeye. Not in much of the promotional materials.
That's true.
And gonna kill him opening scene.
Yeah, opening crawl. And number one, Vision. When your face is made out of an Infinity Stone and a Mad Titan wants it, your odds of survival are probably pretty low.
Gonna have a bad time.
Have a bad time. So there's the nine people the Business Insider have ranked. Of course, like I said, no spoilers. But I can confirm that there's at least one death on this list, so.
Dang. That's a spoiler in itself.
Yes, one of the nine characters in all of the Marvel Universe will perish.
Well, now I'm expecting someone to die.
I apologize, Justin.
Now I'm spoiled. Rotten.
Yeah, so that's my list. You guys got anything else?
Nope, you ruined everything.
Yeah, let's do that. You might have to just rip up your ticket for Thursday.
I can't. It's on my phone. It's the digital.
Throw your phone in the fire.
It is added to my wallet on my iPhone.
Oh, now you're committed. No turning back now.
No. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Jack Kirby dies.
Who?
He's kind of met all the characters with Stan Lee.
Ron Kuby?
I don't want to make it up and say Stan Lee dies because Stan Lee's in all of the movies. Oh, yeah.
That would be terrible. Even to joke about. How dare you, sir?
What if it happens tomorrow?
No.
I said in the movie. I'm not talking in real life.
Oh, man.
I don't want it to happen. I want Stan Lee to outlive me. What about you, Randy? You got anything?
I got nothing. Well, just sweet. You guys.
Oh. Well, awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us for another great episode of the UAC Podcast. Of course, next week will be the Avengers Infinity War extravaganza because Randy promises to see it, even if it's a Monday morning showing. And make sure you like us on Facebook and Twitter and all those places at Geek Legacy. And listen to our other podcast, the Pixelated Podcast, with Justin and Steve and James talking about video games. I'm sure they'll have quite a bit to say about this God of War game.
Nothing. Here. Nothing. It's too good to talk about.
Yeah, and make sure to go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. And until next time, we will talk to you a different time.